This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I'm Lori Rubinson. Talking sports, having fun here on The Fan at 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. Go ahead and use it. A little bit of a mishap here on the desk just as I was about to go on air, but Connor's helping me out. Connor Green behind the glass and also helping me out. I did manage to spill over my cup of water, and so now I have a puddle would be an understatement. I don't know. It's sort of like a pond. There's a pond on the desk here, but I guess since it's just water, it'll clear everything up. Anyway, phone lines are open. As always, appreciate your calls. Love to hear from you. You can also hit me up on X on Twitter, @ L. Rubinson, and I will read those comments as well. Lots to do. We got 4 hours to do it. And I have some great guests for you, all that kind of stuff. But we start off with you, me, Connor, the phone lines, Twitter, all of that. All right. Topics for you, starting off as I am cleaning up the lake that is in front of me. Topics. We've got the Yankees. They win the series. They lose in extra innings today. I heard Connor and Al talking about this, but I actually had a question for Mets Yankees fans right now. If you saw, I know the games are going on, the same time today. I end up with two screens. I always put, both baseball games on, which gets a little dicey. Then I had the Women's National Championship game on a third screen or whatever. But I was able to dial into that more second half. The baseball games ended. So I had both baseball games on. But meanwhile, if you watched both games today, you saw Devin Williams, closer for the New York Yankees. Obviously, the Yankees lose in extra innings, and it is Devin Williams who allows that winning run in the 11th inning for the Yankees. He then talks after the game, and I don't know, watching him talk, like, yes, he said all the right things. Closers, you got to be the stand-up guy. You say the right things, all those sort of things. You take accountability. But he had a little bit of that, I don't know, there's a little deer in the headlights look there. And I don't know if this is just the trade to the big city. Are there more members of the media in New York versus what he's used to in Milwaukee if you blow a save, like, or blow a game or lose a game in extra innings? Like, yeah, of course. Is it that? Is it just that he's new and trying to impress his teammates? And is it the pinstripes, which can have aura, mystique, a little pressure associated there? The spotlight? I don't know. But that was on the one hand. And then you get the Mets game and you have the Mets bringing in Edwin Diaz to close, and while they did win the game and they swept, great for the Mets and for the Yankees, they swept the Toronto Blue Jays, so that's a good thing. But it was a 2-1 game, and Edwin Diaz has either, generally if you're a Mets fan, within a couple of pitches, you have a pretty good sense of which Diaz are you getting on this day. Are you getting the dominant Diaz? The guy who has control over the fastball and the slider, and he's filthy? Or are you getting the completely no control, Diaz, and it becomes really clear quickly that he doesn't have control or command of his pitches. And now he's going to be walking the bases, and you're going to be in trouble with base runners on, who now all can steal and run wild on him because he can't hold runners on. That's one extreme. Or there's the in-the-middle Diaz, and that's what the Mets got on Sunday. The guy who did get the save and did get out of it, but not before he hit a couple of batters and made things more interesting than Mets fans would have liked. So the Mets got the in-between Diaz today. He did get a save. But which closer right now, Mets and Yankees fans, I'll ask you, which closer right now are you more confident in? 888-808-1019. All right, we're going to dive into both teams who, quite frankly, here we are early in the season, and we can nitpick. And, you know, we can always criticize and complain and whatever. But here we are about a week and a half, you know, first week and a couple of days into the baseball season. And we have two good, fun baseball teams. Both teams showing some strengths early. Both teams showing some weaknesses early. The point there being the word early, with a lot of it being too soon, too small sample size to draw big sweeping conclusions. But early on, the Yankees 6-3, sitting atop the AL East in their usual place and position, and with an offense that has earned the name Bronx Bombers, hitting the snot out of the baseball, a ton of home runs. And yes, of course, Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge, but they are getting contributions up and down the lineup. And I will say this, I was worried, I criticized, I complained that Cashman had left the Yankees without a third baseman. You know what? Is it too soon? Maybe it is too soon. Maybe it is too small a sample size. I'm not ready, by the way, to say that either, that any of those options for third base are going to be able to hit over the course of a season. But we do know that they have good gloves. And if the rest of the lineup is going to hit, if the Yankees are going to get offensive contributions, not just from Aaron Judge, but if they're going to get contributions up and down the lineup, and you know, everybody, whether that's Goldschmidt and Bellinger and you know, Chisholm and Volpe and Dominguez and Trent Grisham, and look, if everybody's hitting all over the place and this is a strong lineup with a lot of contribution, Ben Rice, then yeah, all right. Okay, Brian Cashman, I can be convinced that you can have glove first at third base, and if you get offensive contributions, which you've been getting so far in this early season, if you get some offense from them, great, that you can afford a good athletic glove at third base. So that's on the plus side is for the Yankees. It's a 6-3 record. But offensively, there is a ton going right. And whether it's the Yankee offense or the Dodger offense, they have been the two most dominant offensive teams in baseball so far this season. And there's a lot to cheer about and be happy about for Yankee fans there. Now, the flip side for the Yankees, the pitching. And starting pitchers with a 4.84 ERA on this early season. Short, okay, small sample size. Will Warren, has he done enough? Clark Schmidt is making rehab starts. And Clark Schmidt's going to be back sooner rather than later. And in the next week or so, Clark Schmidt's going to be back. And if you're Will Warren, is he doing enough to stay in that rotation? And for the Yankees, do they have enough pitching? So, you know, plenty of time, early season. Schmidt comes back, at some point you hope to have Heel back, and there is still the trade deadline, but it does seem like the Yankees are going to have to outslug a lot of teams. Because I'm not, you know, you look at that starting rotation, I think we can have some confidence in Max Fried. But how good will the rest of that rotation be? Then you flip it to the Mets. And the interesting there is, so if the Yankees were having this conversation in the offseason, hey, the Yankees don't have a third baseman, and, you know, are there holes in this lineup and all of this? And of course, then what happens? The season starts and they're bludgeoning the baseball. Torpedo bats and all, bludgeoning the baseball. Offense is great. And then for the Mets, the offseason and the conversations, everything was about the pitching. We look at the lineup, you know, once the Mets got Soto, Juan Soto, we figured, all right, the Mets are going to have a good and deep lineup. And especially once they brought back Pete Alonso. Good and deep lineup. That's not a problem. Not worried about that. But problem for the Mets, the concern for the Mets, the question mark for the Mets. What about the pitching? In particular, the starting pitching. Do they have good enough starting pitching? Will they be, you know, able to, you know, we've said, like, in David, in Stearns We Trust, David Stearns has a track record, and the combination of Stearns and his ability to identify pitching, starters, bullpen, all of it, and then the Mets now developing a reputation with their pitching lab. We know the Yankees have theirs. The Mets now have theirs, that with Jeremy Hefner, their pitching coach, and the ability now to make pitchers better, that, well, are we convinced about this Mets pitching? Now, again, small sample size, not going to go crazy, but Mets starting pitching has been incredible. Mets pitching in ERA, Mets are one of the best pitching teams in the entire league so far in this early season. So we fought the lineup. Oh, nothing to worry about. We're worried about the pitching. And of course, a week and a half in, here we are. Pitching's been fantastic. And the lineup? Well, not so much. And we thought Juan Soto, we saw him last year in his 1 year. We know he can handle New York. We know he can handle the postseason, the bright lights, all this stuff. He had a good first series of the season in Houston. He was hitting the ball well. He looked okay. Looked like himself. And since then, he does not. Kind of seems like he's pressing, something we're not used to from Soto. A little bit of the swagger, the confidence, doesn't quite seem there in the same way. Now, hit a double late in the game today. Is that all it takes, maybe, to get that swing and that timing back? But it looks like, to me, in this homestand, at least, kind of seems like he's trying to hit a home run and overswing when he gets up to the plate. Trying a little too hard, something we're not used to from Juan Soto. And the Mets hitters, just, you know, today it was the Mets win 2-1. Pitching great. Hitting, we're still waiting for the hitting to come along. And in particular, guys like some of the young guys, Mark Vientos, who was so good last year, has been struggling. I had one of my followers on Twitter who asked the question, how long do we give Mark Vientos and how long do we give Brett Beatty before we start to worry and make changes? With guys like Beatty and Vientos. And I think the answer is the Mets are going to look at those two players differently, because Mark Vientos, after last season, and the postseason, has a track record. He now has a back of the baseball card, a track record in Major League Baseball of success. Brett Beatty does not. Brett Beatty has a track record of success in the minor leagues. Brett Beatty has a track record of success in spring training, but Beatty has not done it at the major league level yet. And here he is, it seems like, missing yet another opportunity. Had this opportunity to take a job, take that second base job, and own it before Jeff McNeil got back from injury. Well, Jeff McNeil is now starting to swing. And within a couple weeks, I would expect Jeff McNeil to be back at the major league level. So Brett Baty has a couple of weeks to show that he can hit major league pitching consistently and do damage, or he's going back to the minor leagues. And I think they'll keep Luis Angel Acuña, who has some more versatility, the speed, the glove, all of that, and will keep him as an extra infielder on the major league roster. And I think it will be, and especially he's a right-handed bat, and you have McNeil as a lefty. So all that, I would expect the answer for Brett Baty is how long? Yeah, about 2 weeks. And then he's going back to the minor leagues if he doesn't show something quickly. And for Vientos, more like a few months to show that what we saw last year is for some reason, you know, does he need to go back to get something right and fix something in the minor leagues before you bring him back up? He now has a track record. But at some point, there'll be guys like Ronnie Mauricio and others knocking on the door if the young players are not delivering. 888-808-1019. We had Jalen Brunson returning tonight for the Knicks. That's the good news. The Knicks are healthy. That's also the good news. The Knicks did win. That's good. They're closer to locking up the number 3 overall seed. Have to look at the scores and see what happened, what's happening in the Indiana game. But they didn't look great tonight, the Knicks. They looked good in spurts. But as we get closer to the postseason, to the playoffs, the Knicks need to figure out, got to work Brunson back into the chemistry of this team. And have to get somehow firing on all cylinders come playoff time. And yet get through these next, you know, 4 games healthy. So that's that. Yeah, Knicks didn't look great, but we'll talk about that. All right, so here's how the show's going to go. We've got Dan, Ed, James, Kevin, Louie on hold. We will get to your calls in just a moment. Coming up in the show later on at 11:20, 12:20, 1:20, I have 3 guests for you when we get into the later part of the show. First, I'll have Dave Lennon from Newsday. We'll talk both Yankees and Mets with Dave, baseball columnist from Newsday. Then coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, Steph Bondi from the New York Post covers the Knicks. So we'll talk about the Knicks. And then coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, women's national championship game was today. UConn over South Carolina convincingly, and we'll talk about that. And whenever there's a championship, I also like to talk about legacy, whose legacy was changed. And then, of course, if you want to talk about it, the big news in the world of the NHL today, Alex Ovechkin passing the great one, Wayne Gretzky, for most goals scored ever in an NHL career, and truly a remarkable accomplishment. So that's out there, too. You want to talk about that. And, of course, NFL, draft, Shedeur Sanders and the Giants and pro days. We got all that stuff. So that all that coming up later over the next course of the next 4 hours. 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. Quick break. Right back.